This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Just playing at my own pace. That's pretty much it. Just playing at my own pace. I don't get sped up. I mean, get where I need to be when I want to be there. And, you know, just the ball find you, make the plays. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've done since high school, college. Give me the ball. I make some guys miss, get down the field, and continue to move the chains. And, you know, definitely on occasions, if I don't trip, I'm going to crib some. But, you know, it is what it is.
Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman, one of the beneficiaries of the new wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, Amari Cooper, in the fray. We look ahead to Sunday afternoon. In the late window, the Bills traveling to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Let's learn more about the Bills' opponent this weekend with our buddy Corbin Smith covering the team for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Corbin. And we've had a couple of chances to see Seattle on the national stage, and what we gather is what we keep hearing is they like to pass the ball. Geno Smith leads the league in passing yards. The defense is young, but they're good. They've got some really good corners. Tell us a little bit about how this season has gone so far for the Seahawks. It looks a little Jekyll and Hyde when you see some questionable losses on that schedule.
Yeah, it really has been a roller coaster, and sometimes you really expect that when you got a new head coach. You've got new schemes. There's been some injuries sprinkled in. You've got a first-time offensive coordinator in the NFL, and Ryan Grubb, who I think has had to go through some adjustment periods here, trying to figure out that, wait, I can't do exactly what I did at Washington, and I'm going to have to make some adjustments in the NFL game. But when they've been good, they've looked really good. This last Sunday, I mean, I think the Atlanta Falcons are an excellent football team, and the Seahawks wiped the floor with them for most of that game. They got off to a fast start. They got three turnovers late in the game, ended up winning by 20, and at times it felt like he was more lopsided than that. It was a really dominant road effort. The defense was aggressive. The offense was able to get some balance with Ken Walker III. The passing game was rolling. Geno Smith had only thrown 28 times in that game, but was really efficient with his opportunities. And special teams looked the best it's looked all year. That was coming off a three-game losing streak where, again, they had some really questionable losses. You mentioned the Giants game being the most notable, that Daniel Jones throwing all over them. It's just been a year of learning curves for this team, and it still feels like we don't necessarily know if this team is going to be a contender by the end of the season or if this is one of those teams that's just going to endure this the entire season. They're going to be up and down and maybe doesn't even make the playoffs. It is still – the jury is out whether or not this team is going to be a contender or not. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Corbin, tell us a little bit more about Geno Smith because I want to give him credit. A lot of us have that image of Geno with the Jets, and it didn't go very well. But, you know, he came in the same draft class as E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel's been out of the league for years. But here's Geno Smith finally getting his chance. What finally clicked for him?
I think the two things that really changed, one, he had a coaching staff that inspired confidence in him. I don't think that he felt that when he was in New York, but when Pete Carroll and his staff were here, they inspired confidence in him, and he was able to play. The physical tools have always been there. I mean, he could have been a first-round pick with some of the numbers he put up at West Virginia, but there were some question marks in terms of his maturity and where he was at as a player coming into the league, and the Jets did not – they did not do what they needed to do to help him develop. The Seahawks were able to give him that confidence when he was a backup and he got thrust into a few games as a starter, replacing Russell Wilson back in the 2021 season. And then on the field, he is just night and day better in terms of his pocket presence. When you watch his Jets film, that was one of the biggest weaknesses. It didn't seem like he had the awareness of the rush coming after him. Now, that is a strength in his game. You watch the Falcons game on Sunday. I can't tell you how many times it just looked like the guy's got eyeballs circling around his head. Like, he knows where pressure's coming at. He is masterful at maneuvering the pocket. He's been behind a pretty rough offensive line most of this year, And yet he has not been sacked that often, in large part because of his ability to move the pocket, and he's been able to extend plays. He's added the running element to his game. It just seems like he's really putting everything together, and this offense is catered well to him as long as Ryan Grubb doesn't decide to do what he did against the Giants and have him throw 88% of the time. That's a little bit too much.
Well, I'll talk about that offense a little bit more with Corbin Smith and also Seahawks injuries. Corbin Smith, Locked On Seahawks, joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. You mentioned the coaching staff, new head coach McDonald, first-time offensive coordinator. The name that Bills fans are going to be familiar with, of course, is Leslie Frazier. I'm curious, what's his involvement been? What does he bring to Seattle's defense? Because that's certainly somebody that, looking at this matchup specifically, may know a thing or two about how to exploit Josh Allen's weaknesses.
Yeah, he's really in the advisor role right now, with Mike McDonald being a first-time head coach and previously working with him in Baltimore. That is who he turns to when he runs into situations in the game where maybe, like, I'm not necessarily sure what to do at this point, or I need some advice to lean on you. He has definitely been involved from the game planning perspective, man, really kind of a senior advisor for this football team. And I fully anticipate this week, with his prior knowledge of, you know, Josh Allen, a lot of the people on the Bills offense, being on that staff, that this week, maybe more so than others, that they are going to be leaning more heavily on him in the game planning aspect. But I think that he's been there to help with the administrative stuff for a first-time coach, and he's also been involved in the game planning, working with Mike McDonald as well as the defensive coordinator, Adam Durde.
If I had to list concerns from the Buffalo standpoint here, and I don't know if you got a chance to watch that Sunday night game, Corbin, where the Bills went into Baltimore and Derrick Henry, you know, ran 90 yards in the first play, set the tone there. And, Derrick Henry does that to a lot of teams. But I feel like Kenneth Walker is the running back that kind of, you know, America doesn't know enough about here. Now, I'm reading that he's under the weather. I would assume he's going to be good. But your thoughts on Seattle's running game in particular, if Terrell Bernard is not able to go for the Bills this week?
That is the big injury for Buffalo here. There's no question about it, because Seattle finally was able to get some balance this last week. And it's been a two-sided problem. There have been a few games where Ryan Grubb has just gotten way too pass happy and he's given up on the run too early. There have also been a few games like the San Francisco game where they just simply could not run the football against the 49ers. Last week, the Falcons had one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. That's the caveat, but they were able to get Ken Walker going. He could have had two touchdowns. One of them was called back from a hold. He did add a receiving touchdown. I'm anticipating that he's going to be feeling pretty good by the weekend, considering that he was sick during that game. I anticipate he'll be ready to go by the weekend and be feeling better. But the run game has just been really inconsistent, and part of that's been the right tackle situation. They're down to their fourth-string right tackle right now. Mike Jarrell played pretty well on Sunday, the sixth-round pick out of Findlay University. But, I mean, they've had a lot of upheaval at that position. The right guard spot, Christian Haynes and Anthony Bradford, neither one of them has been able to fully seize that job, and they're still rotating them. So they've just had some issues with their right side of the line, and being able to have some consistency with that group, leading to the run game being more effective. But last week was certainly a positive stepping stone, and if Buffalo's going to play 5- and 6-man boxes, I think even Ryan Grubb is going to be willing to run the football, and he has to be in this game to get Ken Walker III going. They cannot be one-dimensional with their passing game and expect to beat the Buffalo Bills.
Talk to us a little bit about the health, specifically with one of the star players on Seattle, DK Metcalf. Are we expecting him to practice at any point this week? I saw reports that he wasn't expected to go today, and I don't know what the latest is on his health leading up into Sunday. Corbin, what have you heard?
So Mike McDonald yesterday said that he was probably not going to be practicing today. I fully anticipate he's not going to be out there. Tomorrow is going to be the key day on that front. And knowing DK Metcalf, he did miss one game last year, but there have been several other times where he's had injuries that you thought, oh, he's probably going to miss a game or two, and he found a way to play. He's kind of like Wolverine. He heals really quickly. He's just a freak athlete that has really quick healing. And if I had to bet right now, and I'm not really a betting man, but if I had to bet, I would say that he's going to try to give this a run on Friday and see if he can play on Sunday, because that's just the way this guy is wired.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Basic question that you probably answered 1,000 times, but for our audience, I mean, this is the first time in 8 years Buffalo has gone out there. Rex Ryan was the coach last time. That was that crazy Monday night game that Seattle won. But also, I think a concern for any team coming in that's not used to it, what kind of effect do the 12s have? Like, how loud is it in Seattle? Can the Seahawks fans lay claim to being the loudest stadium in the NFL, or would you say it's Arrowhead or somewhere else?
Seahawks fans would probably not be happy about me saying this, but I would say that Kansas City's probably got the loudest at this stage. But Seattle is still a very loud environment. It's definitely number two. And it hasn't led to the success of the win-loss column the last few years. In fact, the Seahawks have lost their last 2 games. They're on a 2-game losing streak at Lumen Field. So it's not the impossible place to win at that it was during the Legion of Boom era, but the fans are still really loud. There's been a ton of false starts this year. So they're still effectively impacting what offenses are doing. And this will be Josh Allen's first time playing there, so he's going to have that silent count going effectively to be able to manage that crowd noise, because I anticipate that this weekend, especially with the weather, it's supposed to be rainy the entire game. You add the weather with the volume, that is not normally an appealing mix for visiting quarterbacks. And so it's going to be a test. There's no question about that for Josh Allen.
You mentioned the Legion of Boom, man, and I just conjures up memories. There are always players throughout the league, like, you see them play, they're not on your favorite team, but when you watch them play, you're like, I want that guy on my team. And it was always Earl Thomas or Cam Chancellor or Richard Sherman. You've got one now in his second year in Devin Witherspoon, and I'm just curious as to how he's acclimated as a pro, because, boy, coming out of Illinois, I'm like, that's a player I would want on my team.
Yeah, statistically, it has not been as good of a season for him as his rookie year was. I think he's been put in a lot of bad situations, but he has still been really good at defending the run. He had a game 2 weeks ago against the 49ers. He gave him 1 catch for 3 yards in coverage. I feel like, I don't know if it's going to be this weekend, but I feel like there is a blow-up game coming here soon for him, because this is a guy that is dangerous blitzing from the slot. He's got good ball skills. He's a hard hitter that can create fumbles. At some point, there's going to be some big plays that are going to happen. It's just been kind of a quiet season for him on that front. But adding a middle linebacker in Ernest Jones is going to help the middle of the defense. And some of the other additions they've had coming off of injuries, bringing in Roy Robertson Harris, they've got a lot of the pieces now around him that, you know, Reek Woolen's supposed to be back this week. Hopefully with all of those players getting back into the lineup, it's going to make it tougher for the quarterback and Josh Allen to say, you know what, I'm not going to throw very much at Devin Witherspoon because, oh, now I've got to deal with Reek Woolen on the other side. The last few games, teams just haven't been taking very many opportunities to throw at Devin Witherspoon because he's a really good cover corner.
Do you think the best course of action, if you're just looking at this from Buffalo's standpoint, is actually to run the ball? James Cook, and we've seen Ray Davis here. Like, how has Seattle been against the run this year, Corbin?
They've been terrible. They have been god-awful. In fact, the 3-game losing streak, they gave up over 172 rushing yards per game. Now, the caveat here, they were missing some really good players on their defensive line. Byron Murphy, their first-round pick, was out for 3 games with a hamstring injury. He came back Sunday. They're 4-0 when he plays. He has been a huge difference maker for them. They had a game in Detroit that Leonard Williams didn't play because of an injury. And then, as I mentioned a little bit ago, they just traded for Ernest Jones, who they got from the Titans, formerly the Rams. He is one of the best run-defending linebackers in the NFL. That should be instantly a major game changer for this defense, that they've had issues at the linebacker position all year with the second level run fits. I think moving Tyrell Dodson, who you guys are familiar with, moving him to the will spot is going to be better for him. And then they're going to be able to plug in Ernest Jones at that middle linebacker spot. They're hoping that that's going to be able to really turn things around. And they did shut Atlanta's run game down in the second half last week too. 11 carries for 22 yards for Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. They're hoping that they're going to start getting things rolling there, but that has been their biggest weakness on defense.
Corbin, it's funny. We started our conversation kind of asking about what the Seahawks are and looking at their schedule and looking at their wins and their kind of questionable loss. They're still a first place team in the NFC West. I mean, we're nitpicking a first place team. That imagine what they would be if we didn't have all of these little issues that we're discussing about Seattle. Talk about the rest of the division that they play in right now, because it feels as if it's been an underperforming division, a division that hasn't lived up to expectations so far.
It's been a division that has been ravaged by injuries. I mean, look at the 49ers. They just lost Brandon Ayuk. They were already without Javon Hargrave. Christian McCaffrey hasn't played the entire season. Hufanga, their safety's been out. I mean, they've had injuries all over the place. The Rams are just now going to be getting Puka Nacua back and Cooper Kupp back. And who knows how long Kupp's going to be in Los Angeles. If they lose tonight against the Vikings, he might be traded in the next few days. But they've had injuries on the offensive line and on defense. And then the Cardinals, they've had some injuries, and they had a few games slip away. So, no, it has been a disappointing season. I thought this was going to be one of the best divisions in football. And to this point, this is a division that literally has one win against NFC foes that are not in division. And the Seahawks have that, the Falcons last week. They're 1-9 against non-NFC West teams in the conference.
Nope.
Oh, we lost.
Sounds like we lost Corbin mid-thought there. We'll see if we can get him back on the blower, you know, at least to thank him for joining us here in the sports bar, giving us some great information.
I do want to ask him about the ownership.
Okay, yeah, we got to find out a little bit more as we get Corbin Smith, the Locked On Seahawks podcast, back on the blower with us. They're not sure what happened. We just lost our connection. But certainly an interesting and intriguing matchup here between the Bills and the Seahawks when you consider that we don't know a ton about a team from the Pacific Northwest. We don't get to see a ton of on national TV, yet here they are, a first-place team in their division there in the NFC West. So sorry, Corbin, we somehow got disconnected there, and you were in the middle of telling us about the rest of the division and how the Seahawks, you know, find themselves in first place in an injury-ravaged NFC West.
Yeah, the injuries have really been the biggest problem, and you look at this conference. The Seahawks are the only team that has a win against a non-NFC West team in conference. Yeah. The division is 1-9 in those games. So the injuries have been a problem. They haven't been able to win games against the rest of the NFC. It's really been disappointing. I thought this was going to be one of the best divisions in football, and you can make an argument that it's one of the worst right now. Now, could this division turn things around? Absolutely, but certainly, that makes this a prime opportunity for the Seahawks, and I think that's one of the reasons John Schneider's been aggressive already with the trade deadline. Like, hey, this is our opportunity. Let's go bolster our roster. Let's fill some of these deficiencies, and let's get that first division title since 2020.
Corbin, last one for me. And last time we had you on, that was the summer of the Russell Wilson trade. We discovered this. Wait a second. The Seahawks are going to have to be put up for sale or something with the state of Washington and a trust. And even though Jody Allen, the sister of the late Paul Allen, is certainly involved, at least from where we sit. Where do things stand right now in terms of the sale of the team?
Right now, it looks like this is something that's going to be held off for a while. There's no rush to make this happen. And Paul Allen, in his trust in the will, it said that the team needs to be sold. But I don't know that Jody Allen wants to do that. I mean, she seems to be very in control of the franchise, and she's had her imprint on changing coaches, allowing Russell Wilson to be traded. She's got a voice in all of these things. So at this point, I think it's eventually going to happen, but I don't think that this is something that's going to be rushed to. And right now it doesn't look like it's imminent at the moment that they're going to be selling this football team.
What are your thoughts when you see Russell Wilson playing in Pittsburgh?
Well, he looked a hell of a lot better than Denver. I will say that much. I mean, I don't know what went wrong there with the Broncos, but the fit just never was right there for Russell Wilson. I thought he looked like vintage Russell the last three quarters of that game against the Jets the other night. So, you know what? They've got a good running game with Najee Harris. They're a well-coached team. They've got an elite number one receiver in George Pickens. They've got a really good tight end. I mean, they've got some pieces there. Maybe Russ has a third act renaissance here for the Steelers, but he just looked like he was more comfortable in that offense than what he ever looked in Denver. It just, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out.
Well, real quick, I don't know if you made a prediction on this game. Like, I'm being honest. I'm glad we had you on today, Corbin, because Seattle is one of those teams that I feel like we're learning. We need to learn a lot more about. What's your read on this game coming up Sunday?
I think that this is going to be one of those barn burners with a lot of points on the board. I think Buffalo is going to be able to move the ball. I think Seattle, the way that their balanced offense looked last week, they're going to have all their hands on deck. Maybe not DK, but again, I think there's a good chance Metcalf's going to try to play in this game. But I just think that both these teams have plenty of weapons. I think they both can run and pass the football. I think the defenses have some concerns with injuries still that they're both dealing with. I think it's going to be one of those games that really comes down to who's got the football last. Could determine who ends up winning this one. Even with the weather playing, Geno Smith has historically played pretty solid in rain. He's used to doing that. Josh Allen, with his ability, he's played in snow and rain. I think this is going to be a game with a lot of points.
You can hear the Locked On Seahawks podcast on the free-to-download Odyssey app and wherever you get your shows. Corbin, let everybody else know about all the work that you're doing here leading up to kickoff on Sunday. Where can we get your work?
Yeah, you can listen to Locked On Seahawks 5 or 6 days a week. We're on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast, subscribe for free. And then all my written work is on Seahawks on SI, and that's at si.com/NFL/Seahawks.
Enjoy your work, Corbin. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Let's do this again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Corbin Smith, the Locked On Seahawks podcast. There, learn more about the Bills' opponent on Sunday afternoon.
The analogy that is running through my head about this game, and we've all been there. Hey, got to get the brakes fixed, or I got to get this, you know, something fixed in my car. The transmission is probably a better analogy, or the leaky roof. We got to get that done before the bad weather. Hey, we've been living dangerously with our kicker, and if it's going to be a tit for tat game, touchdown, 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 touchdown. Miss kick along the way.
You're worried that
Tyler... This is going to be the Tyler Bass game. Does it not feel like
that? You're worried that Tyler Bass is going to lose his job because of his play in the game in Seattle.
We've been identifying this, and it hasn't come down to that.
All right, so if we're predicting headlines for Monday, Tyler Bass.
Yeah.
The Tyler Bass game. If it's rainy, if the elements are in play. Yeah, that checks out. That would make sense. I mean, I guess your hope is that against Tennessee last weekend, that he maybe gained some of that confidence back. He wasn't asked to do much, but what he was asked to do, he handled with ease. That's interesting. It could come down to a kicker's leg, and Tyler Bass might cost you this game.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, why do the Seahawks, why do they have this losing streak? You can run against them. And why didn't Atlanta run against them? Well, maybe they're starting to figure this out a little bit, but that would be a hope.
Let's get to happy hour next on The Fan Rochester. Happy hour's for you. You can join us at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN. Lots to unpack from our conversation just there with Corbin Smith of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Also, Dan Fates, 13WAM Sports and BuffaloPlus.com. We'll recap the Bills injury report from practice today. That's all on the way. Next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.